The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Tuesday, June 11th, 2024. And man, it's hard to believe that we're almost halfway through the month of June. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Well, a little bit different of a Tuesday edition of the show. Since we had Lindsey Crosby in late last week for our baseball power hour, we'll push that later on into the week. Also, no Double D today. Daryl Dapperidge out of town, and so we won't have him on the show, but excited to have Uncle T-Bone with us. We weren't in the studio yesterday, but we are back today, so good to have you back, sir. Great to have you in the studio as always.
Always nice to be in the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika, your sports leader in East Alabama. 334-321-1390. I can say that the phones are back. Correct.
Yes, it's still the single phone line, but any day now, the new unit came in. We had to send it off and get it fixed, but it is back, and so we will get that put in, and that will be hopefully this week that it'll be fully functioning back to normal, but the phone line is open. You can still call 334-321-1390. You can also hit us up on the line text box, 334-784-1067. You can get in contact with us one of those two ways, and Uncle T-Bone, we are 81 days away from the start of Auburn football. How about that?
That is hard to believe. Hard to believe that we're almost halfway through June as well. Lots to talk about. Auburn getting another commitment in football. I want people to remember that this is going to be an ongoing theme for the next month and a half at least as the Tigers try and claw their way into a top five recruiting class this season. The Dallas Mavericks are falling apart.
Yeah, they are.
In the NBA Finals. It's Luka versus the Celtics. He's got zero help. I mean, I might be a better help out there hooking up three-pointers from the timeline than some of the Mavericks that are trying to help him out there.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves now.
Boston is – Luka may be the best player in the NBA, my friend, but Boston's easily the best team, and they're showing it in the finals. You know, we got the U.S. Open coming up this weekend, which is always a good time during Father's Day weekend. Summertime is here. It's a beautiful day outside here in Auburn, but goodness gracious, is it hot. And speaking of the weather, Jacob.
Go for it.
Speaking of the weather, we have brought in, for the first hour of the show, since we had a couple people out, we have brought in Justin Quinn from SensorGreen, our friends over at SensorGreen for air that's cool and clean. Call SensorGreen. Justin is the owner and CEO of SensorGreen. And we did, you know, as summertime's kicking in, we just thought this would be a really good time to bring Justin in and our partners over at SensorGreen and just talk about, you know, what SensorGreen HVAC can do for them. And, you know, he's going to stick around for an hour too because he's a big sports guy.
Yes.
Former college baseball player and pitcher, knows his stuff. Straight out of Philadelphia, PA, down here on the plains, which is amazing. It's awesome watching the community grow and all the different people from around, not just the country and world, come here and make this place better. So we're just going to get right to it. Justin, thank you so much for being in studio today. We are a proud partner of SensorGreen. We love your brand. We love your company. And just wanted to say a big thank you and get you in here and talk about not only SensorGreen, but about some sports.
Thank you, Wade. Yes, no, excited to be here. Yes, I do love sports. And yes, we love it when it's hot.
Well, good thing is, in the state of Alabama, the middle of June, it's pretty miserable, and it'll only get hotter, which is pretty crazy to think about, that July and then August, and even into September with football season. Some of those early kickoffs for Auburn football are pretty brutal. And so, as Uncle T-Bone was saying, wanted to bring you in and just talk a little bit about yourself and about Sense of Green. If you're listening, if you're a fan of this station and of this show, you're going to hear Sense of Green throughout each and every day on this station, because they are a proud sponsor and they've continued to grow with us, and we're just very appreciative of that. And so we want to get into what Sense of Green is, kind of where the name came from, where all this started, how you got into a business like this from Philly, PA, down here on the plain. So kind of give us the rundown here about Sense of Green. Again, how'd you get into all of this, man?
So, yes, Sense of Green is a company that I actually inherited and was able to purchase back in 2014. The name comes from Sensible Green Solutions. Sense of Green is for short, and the name of the company now is Sense of Green Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. So we are a full-service heating and air and insulation company. And I got started down here in 2011,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and was brought down here from a mutual colleague that introduced me to this company, and was brought in to basically help run it and turn it into the business that it is today.
Sensible Green Solutions, what a amazing concept. We know all about the HVAC part of it and how important that is, but what are some other things? You were telling us about this spray foam insulation before you came in. What are some other products and other Sensible Green Solutions that you offer, Justin, over at Sense of Green?
So, yes, the spray foam insulation is what actually got us started. We were an insulation company first before we ended up getting into the heat and air world. And, you know, the spray foam is something that's unbelievable, because basically what I like to tell people is, we can basically turn your home into a Yeti cooler.
Oh, that's awesome.
How about that?
So, you know, with the heating and air and with that spray foam, you envision a Yeti cooler. You see how long that ice lasts
sure.
in a cooler. And we basically are doing the same thing with the air in your home. You know, we're controlling what's coming in, what's coming out, and, you know, helping everybody with their energy bills. And it's really a great outcome.
Yeah, and especially in today's world, right, where everything is expensive as it is, and the last thing you want to be doing is paying double what you want to be or what you should be for lack of air control, right? Whether you're having people over to watch, you know, the Celtics win the NBA Finals or you're getting ready for people coming over early September for football games. I mean, nobody wants to be hot inside, man, and I don't. I hate being hot inside. It's miserable. Some people want to sit in 80 degrees, but I don't want to, and I also don't want to pay, again, double, triple, whatever the case may be, for air that should be in your house and things that you can control, and a lot of that is what you guys do over at Sense of Green.
That is correct. Yes, sir.
So, Sense of Green, you're a authorized carrier dealer, one of the, if not biggest names in heating and air. I like to say on the show, obviously, the catchphrase, trust the experts at Carrier. How'd you get hooked up with Carrier? How'd you become such a big dealer with them? I mean, you've got to be East Alabama's premier Carrier dealer.
Yes, we definitely are becoming one of them. And, you know, 9 years ago is when we made the change to Carrier. And, you know, the biggest key whenever you're picking a brand or getting associated with a brand is being supported by the distributor, okay? And the distributor of Carrier in this local area is a company called Mingledorff. And, you know, with them and partnering with them and Carrier, it's really elevated us as a business and allowed us to grow, and as well as just help us market around town. And having that Carrier back you up, we're all trained, we're all certified. It's just, you know, it allows us to do a much more efficient job and make sure we're delivering a great service.
I think it gets down to validity, right? I think it's a way for people to look at that and say, okay, they're the real deal, right? They're with a company like Carrier, or a brand like Carrier, who is also backing up a brand like Sense of Green. I think it all just kind of loops together. And so with that, I think you can also, not only do you bring high quality service, but everything that I've ever heard from anybody, from people that we know, and even folks that I don't know that have used Sense of Green here since I've really gotten to know you and got to know the people at Sense of Green, is you guys take care of your folks. You take care of your people. And I feel like that's a core quality that you guys have, not just a great product, but you're going to take care of the people that call on Sense of Green.
Yes, without a doubt. I mean, you know, a big thing for me is five-star service. And if you look us up online, you're going to see that we maintain a five-star service. And one of the things that happens, if we ever do not hit the mark, I'm personally calling the clients and finding out what we did wrong. Because I can't train or find out where we're, you know, need training if I don't know where the issues are.
Yeah.
I mean, right there, you just said it, a core principle of your business, five-star service, taking care of the client. Kylie, it's hard to believe that it's been now over almost 10 years since you got started with Sensor Green itself, 2011 started. I mean, what other core principles, how do you maintain for that period of time and moving forward in your business, what are some of the other core principles other than client service?
You know, a big thing I like to do, I like to call it the love approach. And that's lead by example, over-communicate, victory in Christ, because a big thing in my life is putting Christ first.
Love and, that.
You know, you let him lead and you cannot fail. You know, that is very, very crucial. Last thing is empower your people. You can train, you can do everything you want, but if you micromanage, you're never going to get there. You have to trust your folks and everything that you put your efforts into.
I mean, that's why you hire them, right? I mean, that's why you bring, I mean, and that's not, it's not even an HVAC. That's just any business, right? You have to trust the people that you bring in. And, you know, to loop this into sports a little bit, it's the same way as a coach trusting his assistant coaches and trusting his players. I mean, if you don't, if you try to be that micromanaging CEO, you know, hard, you know what, you're never going to be successful. Nobody wants to play for, even the greatest coach of all time, Nick Saban. You were telling us a story about how you got to meet him in a golf tournament, but even as hard as he was and as great as he was, he still trusted those underneath him, right? And that's what led him to be so successful. So it sounds like that's what you guys are doing over at Sensor Green. And something that I always am interested in for somebody that's been in a business like this as long as you have, what has changed the most since you first got started from what you see now in the middle of 2024? It can be from residential problems. It can be from equipment. It can be from a management standpoint. Whatever that is, what has changed the most since you got started to what you're seeing now in 2024?
So one of the most fascinating things about our industry and the HVAC industry is how much change we go through. You know, from energy code changes, which a lot of you may have heard, energy code, energy code, energy code. It's massive in our industry, and we have to keep up with that. You know, the government gets involved and changes the SEER ratings that have to be installed in people's houses, which affects everybody.
What does that mean,
so
real
you,
quick?
You know, the SEER is basically the energy efficiency of the units.
Okay.
So, you know, from years ago where it was 10 SEER, goes to 12 SEER, mm-hmm. 14 SEER, and now we're at a 14.3 SEER 2. So they're changing the whole way they're rating to try to get even more efficient.
Wow.
So, you know, the next big change coming next year is they're changing the refrigerant that we use and put in people's homes. Mm-hmm. So that's going to bring a whole nother challenge.
Jeez.
But one of the biggest things technology-wise, honestly, too, is owning the wall, and which is our thermostat, and keeping up with apps and people using their phones to control the thermostats and control their systems. You know, you're competing with direct TVs of the world. The security systems of the world that all want to, they have a thermostat to control everything.
Hmm.
So it's interesting. And then AI is a whole nother thing that's coming in that's affecting our industry as well as I'm sure all of y'all.
Yeah. I mean, AI is just, it's scarily taking over, in my opinion. I mean, the movies are coming to life, I think. I mean, eventually it's just going to take over and we're not going to have any control.
Well,
right?
I'll tell you this. I mean, it's an ever-changing world. Obviously, AI is a perfect example of that. Justin, owner of Sensor Green, with us here at On the Line, just explained several aspects of things that I would have no concept of as John Q. Client. But hearing all that, can't you feel it, folks? Can't you see out there? You got to trust the experts, especially
sure.
when it comes to something as important as HVAC. I call it, Justin, the teeth of your home. And just like your teeth, wouldn't you go to the dentist a couple of times a year, right? To make sure that everything's maintained. How important is that in your home, that maintenance and making sure you're on top of all those really complicated issues, obviously like you are for your clients?
You know, it's extremely important. And, you know, there's a story that I heard from a colleague of mine in the same industry, how a customer, every time he had his technician go out to their house for their maintenance, they were having to spend money. They were coming up with something, and the customer got really irritated about, you know, I don't understand. I'm paying you for this maintenance. You're coming out here twice a year. Every time you come, you're saying I got to do this or I got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool to hear him say, he's like, you know, Mr. Customer, I understand that you're upset with us coming out there, but how many times has your unit broke down when it's 98 degrees outside in the summer since you've been using us? She said, put that part in, please. So, you know, it works. And that's the biggest misunderstanding that I hear around our industry is maintenance isn't worth it. You know, it's a waste of money. It's this, it's that. Our whole goal is to find that next part that could break and, of course, go out on a Friday night when you're entertaining people for a graduation party.
Well, I'm going to give a personal testimony here. I have
Sensor
Green at doing maintenance on my unit. There was an issue. 9 p.m., the technician was there, Justin, came over from Pike Road over in Montgomery where he had a job. He was on his way home, came over, diagnosed the issue. It was taken care of 2 days later when the part came in. And this was about a month ago. I don't know if you know this. Long before this heat got here, even if the heat had been here, I would have been like, that's incredible service in 2 days. But this is even before, you know, it was such a necessity to have your HVAC running. I could understand, you know, during the middle of summer, there being a sense of urgency. But the sense of urgency that was shown when it was kind of in that springtime and the unit wasn't quite as important to me at, you know, 75 degrees outside as opposed to 95, just spoke volumes of Sensor Green. That's my personal testimony. So, folks, make sure you call Sensor Green for all your HVAC needs, for all your other Sensible Green solutions. I highly recommend the foam. I didn't know anything about foam, Justin, insulation, until I went into an attic with our good friend Jeff D over there at Sensor Green. Shocked. Completely shocked that you could actually be up in an attic during the summertime.
Oh, it's incredible. It'll keep you within 10 degrees of that thermostat. It's mind-blowing, and it works.
In the attic. I mean, in the attic.
That's incredible.
Think about that. Yeah. All those days that you've crawled in the attic and you're just pouring, sweating, trying to get something fixed or do whatever you got to do.
I mean,
not anymore.
You can store the Christmas ornaments up there year-round.
Yeah.
And not have to worry about them disintegrating with the heat and other things. That's just amazing. It gives you a more livable space.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, hey, let's get to our first break here in hour number one. Justin Quinn, owner and CEO of Sensor Green, is joining us here in all of hour number one. The guy from Philly. We're going to talk a little sports when we come back. Braves fans, you may want to close your ears off because this guy is a Phillies fan. We'll talk some baseball when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7 for the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goetz. He is Uncle T-Bone on a rare appearance on a Tuesday afternoon. But when you bring in special guest, T-Bone makes an appearance.
I was not going to miss today.
That's right. That's right.
Sir.
Well, Justin Quinn joining us from Sensor Green. And Uncle T-Bone was telling us that you're a Philly kid, right? You're from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and want to get into a little sports talk with you. I know you're a big sports guy. And before we talk about your Philly fandom, you were a college baseball player yourself, right? It's a big time for college baseball. The World Series is set in college ball. So tell us a little bit about where you played and kind of what that was like.
Yes, yeah, so Presbyterian College, Division II school.
Yeah,
they're now a Division I school, but lucky for me, it was Division II back then, and we actually were good, and we had a lot of fun with it. So, yes, I was able to be pitching is what got me there, and had a lot of fun. And junior year was our best year, made it to regionals, and the team that left our region that year was University of Tampa, who ended up winning the World Series.
How about that?
So it was a lot of fun.
What was your go-to pitch when you had to have something, when you had to have that strike or get somebody out, what would you throw?
The curveball was always my strikeout pitch. Never could master the changeup, which is why college is as far as I got.
Which is why you own a highly successful and awesome company now.
That's it.
Were you always a pitcher? Is that what you always kind of wanted to
no,
do?
No, I actually loved to hit and really? Had a very okay. good career hitting. But when you go to school, unless you can wow them coaches at both positions, you basically yeah. are picking and you go with it.
Okay. Well, so as a former baseball player yourself, and you're a big baseball fan, I know we're kind of going against the grain here with you being a Philadelphia Phillies fan with a lot of our Braves listeners, since no matter what the Braves do, they can't catch up to what Philly's doing. I mean, the Phillies are having a phenomenal season. I mean, one of their best starts in the history of the franchise right now.
Without a doubt, it gives me the vibe from the 09 team when we had Roy Halladay and Cole Hamels and Cliff Lee, and had
such a good team.
Amazing year, and of course the playoffs did not treat us good. And to be honest, it scares me having this good of a regular season, because I've watched the Braves be phenomenal these past few years, and then we get them in the playoffs, and I just pray that that doesn't get switched this year.
Are Philly fans okay? So I think Philly fans on a national level get I don't want to say a bad rap, but they're known as being tough. Are they as tough as the reputation?
Why are you saying that? Is that because we threw snowballs at Santa?
Well, I feel like you're right, though. I feel like they almost get the crazy treatment, right? It's
right.
like, okay, Philly fans, like, you got to go to Philly, you got to go play the Eagles, or you got to go play the 76ers. You're playing, like, if you have to go to Philadelphia, nobody wants to make that trip. Like, that just seems like a place that teams just go to die.
You know, there's a reason there's a jail cell, right, in the Eagles stadium.
But, I mean, Justin, I grew up with a bunch of Alabama fans, so I just can't see that it's any tougher dealing with them. I guess dealing with Eagles fan, if they do have a place to put people who had a little bit too much fun, is it something that's just in the water? I mean, what was it like growing up in Philadelphia?
So, I mean, honestly, growing up in Philadelphia was great. I had a wonderful childhood. You know, Philadelphia sports is always big. Pro sports is big up in the north. You know, college it's nothing like it is here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pick a pro team. I was a Penn State fan growing up, but that was really it. It's nothing like the rivalries here and, you know, the SEC football and SEC sports in general. You know, people jump on their teams and they go crazy. But growing up in Philadelphia as a sports fan, having Flyers, Sixers, Phillies, and Eagles, I mean, we've always had respectable teams, and every so often we have a great team.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, the fans, they jump on board no matter what the outcome.
Philly is a unique city because it's one of the few cities in the United States that has all four of the major sports teams in the city limits, right? They're all right there in the city of Philadelphia. So were you growing up downtown Philly, like in the city, or kind of outside of it a little bit?
So I actually grew up in a town, small town, 40 miles north, Plumsteadville, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Okay, but, you know, I always have said Philly just because no one has ever heard of Plumsteadville.
That's fair, and I'm sure you made your fair share of trips to Philadelphia. I mean, if you had to put – are you a Flyers fan too? Are you a hockey guy?
I am a Flyers
fan. I love
it.
Oh,
yes.
Yes, I love it. See, nobody down here likes hockey, man. Nobody down here likes it, Justin, but I do.
Hey, I loved when we had the Thrashers, and every time the Flyers came, I'd go watch them. It's sad Atlanta lost their team.
I know, it is. Well, if you had to rank your Philly fandom in all four of the major teams, I mean, if you have one team that you can only cheer for the rest of your life from Philly, rank them 1 to 4, what would that look like?
It's going to go Eagles, Phillies, Sixers, Flyers.
Okay. Okay. That's respectable. That's respectable. But you were also telling us a little bit about you got to watch Allen Iverson play back in the day when he was playing for the Sixers, and what an unbelievable talent he was. You said you were watching him live in Philly, right?
Oh, yeah. So 2001, last year that I actually lived full-time up north, I had season tickets. And, yes, watching AI live in person, you can't explain how fast he was. He was definitely a superhuman on the court.
Yeah, you mentioned AI earlier in the first segment. That's not the original AI is Allen Iverson, not artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he was around a lot before artificial intelligence was, and he was dominating before that was too. But it seems like, we're up against a break, so we'll kind of wrap this up. But it seems like you have made the transition to the South in terms of sports. I mean, you're a big Auburn guy now, right?
Absolutely. You know, been here since 11. Unfortunately, came 1 year after the national championship, but it's definitely been a fun ride, and watching the passion, it's really second to none.
Is it where you grew up outside of Philadelphia, is it comparable to East Alabama?
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's really neat. That's wonderful to hear.
I like that. Well, we're going to go back and clip the part where he said that the North and college sports has no idea what it means to really be college sports fans and how it's nothing compared to down here. So we'll make sure we clip that because people up there don't get it until they make a trip down here, Justin. They don't get it. And I grew up up there, believe me. I grew up in Ohio a long time. They just don't understand what it means to be college sports down here. We'll take our break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back, talk some more sports with Justin, who's joining us, Justin Quinn from Cincy Green. You can give us a call, 334-321-1390, 30 minutes in to hour number one.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Jacob Goetz. He is Uncle T-Bone, and we are joined, very glad to be joined in the studio, by Justin Quinn, owner and CEO of Cincy Green Heating and Air. You'll hear him on this station a bunch. They're the reason, and we made this announcement on Friday, right, that we're going to be at Moe's this Friday.
That's
right,
exactly right. So yeah, just make sure you get us down for a live remote, and we'll have our man Jeff D from Cincy Green will be on site, and you know you need at least some HVAC maintenance. You'll want to talk to our good friend Deco at Moe's Bent Creek. And if you got any other issues for any other Sensible Green solutions, check them out at sensorgreen.com. Jeff will be on site. If you just want to call in, I can pass along the number and he will give you a call and take care of you, because that's what they do over at Sensible Green, is take care of their people. And, man, that was just an awesome, really quick before we get back to what we were talking about, Justin, that your acronym LOVE for how you approach business. I mean, can you say that one more time? I mean, that's just incredible.
Oh, yeah. So lead by example, over-communicate, victory in Christ, and empower your people.
That's just amazing.
Phenomenal.
I mean, tell me you can't trust these folks with your HVAC.
Yeah. Over-communication is key for me, because in anything you do, and for what I do in particular, Jeff, to give you a little bit of insight just about, or Justin, about how we, you know, in sports radio and broadcasting and everything, I mean, over-communication is key, because if you don't, right, if you just assume, then believe me, something will go wrong. Yeah. I can guarantee something goes wrong, and I'm sure that's the exact same way for you in the HVAC.
Jacob, unit. We've got a text, not to the hotline, but from a personal fan of yours who knows Uncle T over on Carter Street over there in Auburn, Alabama, my man Jay Crew, Auburn High Class in 1991. Jacob, what's the nickname for Presbyterian College? Can you name it?
Of what, their mascot?
Yes.
Off the top of my head, no.
Justin?
Oh, hold on.
Come on, you got it.
Dig deep.
I'm digging. I'm not Googling, I swear. Oh, I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head.
Can't think of it?
No.
What about Scotland?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. You're going to have to give it to me.
We are the Blue Hose.
That's right. H-O-S-E, folks. The Blue Hose.
That's right.
Go Hose.
That's right.
Go Hose. I love it. That is so awesome. And apparently it's because of the blue socks they wore, and no one wanted to say blue stockings. They said blue hose. So how about that? You
there
learn
you
something
go.
Every day,
yeah,
my man.
I did not
Thank
know
you,
it
Jay
was
Crew,
the
for
blue.
Texting in. Give
appreciate
us a shout
him.
Sometime,
yeah.
Brother.
No, he's great. We appreciate him. The Blue Hose. How about that? From Presbyterian. And you were telling us a little bit during the break about your pitching days, because you were over in South Carolina, and you got to play against some big-name programs back in your day, huh?
Yes, we did. We were in the South Atlantic Conference, so that was the Division II part. But our out-of-conference games, we got to play against some pretty stiff competition, and got to play against USC when they were nationally ranked, and Clemson when they had Chris Benson. So
wow,
we got to see some incredible talent, and it was definitely just fun opportunities for
yeah,
sure.
You got to go against Willie Harris from Kennesaw State, is that correct?
You know, Wade, that is my claim to fame of my pitching career. It was my 21st birthday against Kennesaw State, and yes.
21.
That is a story where I told Coach he needed to start me, and unfortunately, he did not. He went with our ace, who was the fireballer.
Okay.
And lasted a couple innings and got blasted for 7 runs. And then I was able to come in on the pen and no runs for the rest of the way. So awesome time. And yes, I went to him after the game. I said, Coach, I told you to start me. And
you got to love the confidence there from a pitcher laughed. When they come up to the coach and say, give me the ball.
There's very few people that'll do that.
Put me on the mound. That's when I got – if I'm the skipper – And Uncle T's manager there, I say, I don't know who we're pitching today, but it's going to be you, kid.
Yeah. Well, did you go out and celebrate after that? I mean, I know you guys lost, but so you sound like you won.
Unfortunately, it was a road trip to Kennesaw State. I think we got back to campus around 11:50, and I think I did try to run and use my ID for the first time.
I mean, what was last call back then? Was it midnight or it's a little bit later nowadays? But
you know, I'm getting old. I don't remember.
You know, Justin, we have a few teams here that Jacob and I, outside of Auburn, have really taken a liking to, including the Dayton Flyers in basketball, because that's where Jacob's from. And I saw their fans over the Christmas holidays in a basketball tournament just travel, and they were loud and passionate. And I was like, who are these people? So I think we're going to have to put Presbyterian College in there too.
Sure, let's throw them in the mix. Why not?
We're going to be big Blue Hose fans.
We are big Blue Hose. That's right. That's what they say. Well, on the other side of things, Justin, in terms of college football, because you know that is what reigns supreme in this state, and you've been in the South long enough. I mean, being in South Carolina and now here in Alabama, you know that college football is king down here. How has that adjustment been like for you from a kid that grew up in the North where, of course, pro sports were the thing, mm-hmm. and getting into Auburn, Alabama, in the state of Alabama, where college football is legitimately talked about 365 days a year? What was that like for you getting into this new college football landscape here in the South?
You know, I think where I learned really, really fast how football goes down here was, I want to say, 2012. And I could be wrong, forgive me, but I think that's when LSU played Alabama for the national championship.
It was the 2011 season.
Correct.
But yes, it was in 2012.
2012.
And that's right. That was down in New Orleans.
And I remember going out in Auburn to watch the game. Mm-hmm. And I've never saw so many Auburn fans in purple and gold cheering on LSU because they just did not want Alabama to win.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, I think Alabama killed them. But
they shut them out.
I was shocked by that, and so I learned really fast.
I bet you did, and you found out, too, that Auburn fans are very passionate about Auburn football and about the things that they love and hate, and that's what makes this town so special, right?
Without a doubt. You know, it goes without saying all around town. I mean, you know, they get behind their teams, they support them, they want them to win, and they'll do anything they can to help them do that. I think I've never seen so many people that get so excited to grab a roll of toilet paper.
And from the outside looking in, it is a weird tradition, but it's so special here, and it's so much fun. I mean,
what's weird about just randomly rolling trees in the middle of the day
or middle of the night, most of the time.
Or whenever.
Yeah.
Running around downtown.
I mean, we rolled tubers a few weeks ago when all the men's
golf won. Doing body getters like a lunatic.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's a special place down here. Yes. And so in your college football fandom, in terms of Auburn, because I know you keep up with it and want to get your thoughts a little bit and from your perspective on what Hugh Freeze has been doing kind of with Auburn football, I mean, what's your thoughts on everything that's been happening going into year two with Hugh Freeze here at Auburn?
You know, I definitely feel like he has got the right plan in place. I got the privilege to meet him at a golf event when he first came, and you know, you could tell that he knows his stuff and he wants to win. I think NIL is challenging for everybody, mm-hmm. and you know, it's really building loyalty these days with players is probably harder than ever. So you know, I think he's got a lot of potential to do great, and I think he will.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about NIL as a former college athlete. I mean, I think you just summed it up perfectly. I mean, it's basically here to stay, and it's a challenge to everyone. How you approach it is probably how, you know, if you're going to be able to maintain any sustainability as a head coach, if you're going to fight it, I think you're going to quickly be shown the door.
Without a doubt. I mean, because the thing is, you know, the coaches with the greatest talent have always shined. And they've built the dynasties. I think it's going to be a lot harder to have a dynasty now.
Yeah.
You know, with all of the NIL money and parents and kids, and I understand they want to make as much as they can while they can because there's no guarantee to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Which is something that I've kind of talked about with I mean, there and I've said this, there will never be another Nick Saban-like run in college football. It will never happen. You will not see a 15-year dominance ever again in college football because, I mean, even look at what Kirby Smart and Georgia are doing. I mean, it's great, right? They're winning national championships. They're having high-level recruiting classes, but other teams are starting to level it out a little bit, right? Yep. And you can see a team win and be really good for 4 to 5 years, but then everybody else is going to be on the same playing field, especially with this whole revenue sharing thing and all. And that's a deeper conversation. But the world and the outlook of college sports, I mean, especially from when you played, it's just so different. And all those changes have come in the last handful of years.
It sure has. It's like it's happening overnight, too. And the problem is, you know, with any kind of change, right, comes regulations and accountability. And, you know, you create one thing that sounds great, but it creates another problem. So,
yeah.
You know, it'll be interesting to see how it, you know, evolves.
I want to pivot back to the Philadelphia side of being a professional sports fan, which is just fascinating to me, seeing how there were, outside of USFL, no professional sports franchises in the state of Alabama. What's your fondest memory of growing up as a Philly sports fan?
You know, there's quite a few of them. I mean, you've got 1993, Phillies make it to the World Series. Unfortunately, Joe Carter breaks our heart. I hate that sticks in my brain, but it does. You've got the 2008 Phillies World Series. I mean, anytime we win a championship, that's memorable. I enjoyed that, you know, watching Allen Iverson in the NBA Finals beat Lakers game one. Yeah, we got excited. Was it pretty after that?
No.
Absolutely not. And then, you know, of course, the Eagles in that 17 run and the Philly special. Big Nick Foles, which I have a signed lovely picture at my house of that play.
Nice.
And,
I mean, talk about a guy who got just red hot at the right time during that season.
He could not miss. I mean, he was in a gun-slinging match with my buddy's favorite team, the Patriots, and Tom Brady, and they won. And I, to this day, have yet to let him live that down.
and for
what
that particular friend, never let him live it down.
No,
never let him go. And yeah. That was something that just had not happened very often, that type of play in that moment, too. It was like, okay, game on the line. Let's throw and run this play that we've practiced a bunch, but nobody's seen anything like this recently. And they were like, yeah, we're good. Let's go. And they did it, and they completed it, and the rest was history.
That is true, man. I'll never forget it.
I'm sure Philly's the same way.
You talked about Allen Iverson. On that 93, as a player that you obviously admired and cheered for, the 93 Philadelphia Phillies team. Now, those were the Bad Boys, right?
Lenny Dykstra, John Kruk.
Or the Nasty Boys, is that what they call
them? Yeah.
Who are some of your favorite players off of that team?
You know, it's you had Nails and Lenny Dykstra, hustler.
Now, was Roger McDowell on that team?
He was.
Oh, my gosh, what a character.
Let's see. You know, John Kruk obviously was awesome, first baseman. You know, in 1995, I got to play at the Vet, okay? This is before their new stadium. That was the all-star game of my high school career. And, you know,
it
was really crazy because when we get out there and you go out in the center field, you saw nothing but tobacco spit all over the Vet's AstroTurf.
Wow.
And this is back when they just, you know.
Is that field as hard as it looks on television?
Not only was it hard, I think it was 120 degrees when we were playing that day. It was miserable.
Oh, that's terrible.
But, yeah, that 93 team, man, they were hustlers.
Well, one more thing before we get to our final break. On the college football side, do you have any bold predictions, big predictions? It could be for Auburn. It could be for the SEC. It could be college football in general. I mean, you could call the collapse of college football. I don't care. Whatever. You have a big prediction for us in terms of college football, what you think is going to happen in this upcoming season, because I'm sure you heard me talk about it in the open, Justin. We're 81 days away from Auburn football kicking off, but we're less than that from college football beginning.
You know, I would obviously, because I've lived in Auburn and have my business here, would love to see them do something special, and they could. But what I am very scared of is that Kirby is livid that they got left out of that playoff last year. And I am just, you know, I can see them trying to not hold back on anyone And it's going to be really interesting to see what Georgia does.
That is an amazing point, because I feel like that Georgia is my preseason SEC pick, would be my preseason number one in Uncle T-Bone's Radio Free Auburn poll, Justin. But I always allow the defending champion to stay number one until someone knocks them off. But I think Georgia will be up there very quickly.
He brings up a point that not a ton of people are talking about. It's a mad Georgia team. It's an upset right. Georgia team and Kirby Smart.
Disrespected.
And, sure. And
That's scary.
It's very scary. It's something we saw Nick Saban in Alabama really master.
Yeah, he channeled that perfectly at times.
Yeah, and so very well could happen. And now in an expanded college football playoff, we were looking at the FPI, the Football Power Index, the other day. It's like a 75-80% chance that Georgia makes the college football playoff with the new expansion and how they and just how good they are. Now, their schedule's a little bit tougher than it has been in the past. But, yeah, an upset, mad Georgia team, that's not something that Auburn or really anybody is wanting to mess with right now. Of course, Auburn doesn't have a choice. They get to play Georgia every single year. But we'll take our final break here in hour number one. We'll wrap up our conversation. The hour's flown by. We'll wrap it up with Justin Quinn from Cincy Green Heating and Air. We'll wrap that up. Get into hour number two. That's all coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Wrapping up our conversation as well with Justin Quinn from Cincy Green Heating and Air. Man, it's been a blast having him in the hour. I said it there at the end of that break. It's flown by. I mean, it's been a really good time talking about Cincy Green, talking about your time growing up in Philly, talking some Philly sports, talking some college football as well. And got a couple of minutes here as we are winding down. First and foremost, best way for people to contact you and Cincy Green, if they're looking right now, if God forbid their whole AC unit just is done for, right? It goes out tonight and they need to call Cincy Green. How do they get in touch with you? What's that process look like? Kind of break that down for folks. When they give you a call, what's that going to look like?
Yes, the fastest way, cincygreen.com. We've got an easy way to get a hold of us. You can request an appointment. We get back to you ASAP. Obviously call us 334-641-5450. And you know, we're here to help you.
Mm-hmm. Hey folks, also we have a lot of people that listen on streams, Justin, and you have a new North Alabama location in Huntsville. How can the people in Huntsville get to you?
Same thing. So that's the beautiful thing about this is it's one centralized call center. And then we handle it to make it easy for our customers.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, we do. We have people all over the state that listen to our show, to the station for our seven local straight local hours of sports talk radio. So it's not just here in Auburn, Opelika, but for those of you that are, if you're riding around listening on your radio on 106.7, be sure that you are reaching out to Cincy Green for any of your heat and cooling needs. And so anything, any specials or anything going on right now as we are getting into those deep summer months. Anything going on that they need to know about?
Absolutely. Contact us now, man. We have an AC tune-up special running for $89.95. You know, don't wait till it breaks. You know, you don't want that happening when it's 100 degrees out. Mm. Get us out there. It's worth the money, and you won't have a breakdown.
Justin, I'm looking over at sensorgreen.com right now, and if someone's system completely went out and had to be changed out, am I reading this correctly with approved credit? 0% APR for 60 months on select carrier systems?
That is correct.
That is incredible in today's inflationary world. 0% interest, folks. You know you've been needing that new unit. Cincy Green are the people to call and get in touch with. CincyGreen.com.
And remember, they are bringing us live on Friday at Moe's Bent Creek. Okay, now don't go downtown. You can, but we won't be there. On Friday, we're going to be out at Moe's Bent Creek, and it's going to be brought to you by Cincy Green Heating and Air. We're talking U.S. Open. We're talking Auburn Athletics. Going to be a lot of fun. And as we always say, Uncle T-Bone, when ESPN 106.7 shows up, we bring a party. And so we're giving people plenty of notice. The promos are running. We're highlighting it.
No one is working harder and having more fun than ESPN 106.7, except perhaps the folks over at Cincy Green. Justin, I got one last question because, I mean, it's just evident that you've laid the foundation for a fantastic business and that's going to have years and years of success. And this is always fascinating to me, to people who make a payroll and put their hang a shingle, put their name out there like you've done. What kind of advice would you give someone who wanted to start a business?
You know, it's funny you say that. I get asked that a lot from people. You know, I've been very blessed on my path to where we are today. But, you know, I think one of the number one things is try to work in the industry you're wanting to start. Learn processes. Learn what works, what doesn't work. You know, the whole key to success in growing a business is get to the point where you're managing processes and not people. Because if you develop those systems in place and you have those processes in place, you have something to hold people accountable and show them a career path for success.
That's amazing. Jacob, I seem to remember a coach across the state who had a process, and he had a pretty dang good run at Alabama, unfortunately for us. Justin, this has been awesome. Anytime you're in town and you want to come back over here, over off North Dean, come see us in the studio. We're going to have you back in football season. There's just you're too good, man. You're too much of a natural. We've got to have you back in studio. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, guys. I enjoyed it.
Well, I guess we'll have to settle for Deco to come in while he's out of town. I mean, we'll make that work.
He can pitch hit, but we're going to want the power hitter in here again soon. Check him out at www.sensagreen.com for air that's cool and clean. Call Sensagreen.
That's right. Justin, again, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
That's Justin Quinn, CEO and owner of Sensagreen Heating and Air. He's with us all of hour number one. Uncle T-Bone, we get into hour number two. We got Auburn football recruiting news. We've got Auburn football scheduling news as well, and a whole lot more. That's coming up in hour number two. Stay tuned.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on ESPN 106.7. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. He is Uncle T-Bone with me on a rare Tuesday afternoon. If you missed any of hour number one, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to that when you get the chance. We were joined by Justin Quinn from Sensagreen Heating and Air, proud sponsor here at ESPN 106.7 of our show and of the station and everything that we're doing over here. Owner and CEO was with us all of hour number one. We talked some Sensagreen, talked some sports as well, so it was a really good hour to get the show going. So you can find that wherever you get your podcast, or, of course, you can go to our station website at ESPNAU.com. That was a lot of fun, Uncle T-Bone. Glad we had him in.
It was just awesome. And what an inspiration. What a successful business leader. All around, just great guy. Throwing out some amazing advice for everybody. And then some, just a dead natural talking sports. I mean, I say we're going to have him back in. We'll talk a little about Sensagreen. I want to get his takes on what's going to happen in the college football season, laying it down that you better watch out for a red-ass Kirby Smart in the University of Georgia. They've got the devil in them from being left out of the college football playoff and a bone to pick with everyone about it.
Yeah, well, that was his big prediction for the football season was Georgia's got a chance to wake up once again and prove that they are a dominant force in college football. So that was all back in hour number one. Hour number two, each and every day during On the Line, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Northeast Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. Again, we appreciate them bringing you each and every hour number two here on the show. Phone line is open, 334-321-1390. Call in. What's on your mind? We want to hear from you on this Tuesday edition of On the Line. You can also send us a text in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. And we got to start in hour number two with the news from Auburn football. The commitments continue to roll in. Auburn and Hugh Freeze pick up another one. They get a 3/4-star, we'll say, because depending on what sites you look at and depending on what rankings you want to look at, this guy is a stud without a doubt. And his name is Bryce Deese, and he is a guy that committed to Auburn today. He's 6'1.5", 210 pounds. He's out of Baltimore, Maryland, Uncle T-Bone, a guy that is being heavily recruited by the likes of Miami, Penn State, USC, and others. He camped here on Sunday, was offered on Monday, and committed on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's kind of a whirlwind story for Mr. Deese. He apparently is good friends with an Auburn defensive back target, Blake Woodby. They grew up together. Woodby was coming down to a camp at Auburn. He was talking about everything that Hugh Freeze has cooking down here on the Plains and how special a story it is and how things are changing, and that that his buddy needed to come down here and check it out. So he comes down here and camps this past weekend and just dominates. Mm-hmm. And apparently he's they got him listed as an athlete, but he could play a little bit of a small linebacker type position or star for the Tigers. This hybrid defensive back tackling position that, I mean, listen, there's 6'7 DBs out there on the field. They got to be able to stop the run. They got to be able to cover. And this guy checks all the boxes. I've got him listed as a 4-star over at the rival site. Here's a few of the teams that Auburn beat out for his recruitment: Southern Cal, Oregon, Miami, and Maryland, where he is from. We all remember the physical nature of the Maryland defense from the bowl in Nashville last year, so don't scoff at the Terrapins by any means. A good pickup for the Tigers as they continue to rickroll in recruiting down here on the Plains.
Yeah, it's a guy that was either very, very lowly ranked or some places not even ranked at all.
Watch how many offers he gets now.
Yeah, I mean, and he's committed, but what we talk about all the time, that unfortunately it doesn't mean what it used to, but I think it's a guy that's very excited about being at Auburn and the fact that he stepped in on a Sunday and just blew the water out, right? I mean, he really outperformed himself and overperformed what people expected him to.
Got to get him on campus.
Yeah, get him on campus.
We keep preaching this. They get on campus. They see how special Auburn is. The university, the community, here's a quote from him: really just felt like home over there for about 2 days. Just comfortable with the coaches. Just really comfortable with the whole situation. It's an overall great program.
And in this case, it was Auburn getting him on campus for them to see him, right? For them to get an idea about him. I mean, a lot of these guys, right, Auburn knows what they're getting. And you understand, okay, this is a 5-star receiver, or this is a 4-star offensive lineman, or whatever the case may be, right? It's okay, let's get them to campus, let's get them to Auburn, and then hopefully we feel confident in our facilities, our coaches, our campus, everything that they're going to pick us. But in this case with Bryce Deese, it was, let's get him down here and see what he's like, see what he can do. I mean, they may not have even had overly high expectations, and then all of a sudden they were like, oh, we see something, we got to make an offer because he's going to explode on the scene. And that's exactly what happened. Our buddy Christian Clemente at Auburn Undercover says a true sleeper is what Auburn just picked up today.
Well, apparently one of his high school coaches has a lot of connections with DJ Durkin, and kind of set up him also coming on down here to the Plains to see what it was all about. And when he got here, it wasn't just DJ Durkin, the defense coordinator, Charles Kelly and Wesley McGriff, the safeties and defense and cornerbacks coach, got all over him really quickly and said, we want you here. Another quote I like is, you know, they talk about me playing linebacker or at star. They just know that I'll be there playing somewhere on the field. A lot of versatility with this kid. When you get a kid who's 6'2", 205, 210 out of high school and can run and is physical, you're going to find a place for him on the field, Jacob.
His message to Auburn fans, did you see what this was? He says, quote, "War, damn, Eagle. Let's go win a natty," is what he says.
That's right.
And so for a guy that's out of the state of Maryland, he's also really good friends with Blake Woodby. And that's a guy that Auburn fans are very familiar with that's been making his rounds, who was on an OV last weekend. And so basically he got some word. He was like, hey, go check it out. And he did. He came down here and Auburn picks up a big commitment once again. And it's just, It seems like it's every week that Auburn's doing something like this.
Did you see some of the quotes from the big-time recruits this past weekend that visited? I know we weren't here yesterday out of office. Specifically the quotes from the two Alabama commitments, mm-hmm. or so-called commitments. Now, I don't really see how you can call those kids committed after reading those quotes. Both of which said, oh, my recruitment's going down to signing day or late in December.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like someone who's fully committed to Uncle T-Bone. Does it sound that way to you, Jacob?
No, and it continues to go back, and I continue to go back to the new era of recruiting. And look, I think that 100% plays into the hands of Auburn and any other school that's recruiting guys like that, because all those players are doing is giving them more time to convince them, hey, why don't you come over here? Let me ask you this. This is kind of an opinion question, and we can ask our listeners this as well. 334-321-1390 on the phone lines, and then the text box 334-784-1067. Is it harder to get somebody to flip to your school in a day and age like this, or is it harder to keep somebody committed to your school in a day and age like this? For somebody, let's say right now, that is committed to school X in the middle of June, but they've already made it very clear that they are not making a full decision until signing day in December. Is it harder to keep that player committed to your program, or is it harder to get them to flip to another? What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think statistically, more players who commit to, say, Auburn are going to stay committed than flip, right? But it does seem like there is a more abnormal amount of players flipping, not just once, not just twice, but multiple times, whether it's in between two schools, like we've been seeing Antonio Coleman Jr. from Sarah Land down in South Alabama doing between Alabama and Auburn, or someone committing to a school and then decommitting and committing somewhere else, and then decommitting and committing somewhere else, and then on signing day pulling a complete rabbit out of a hat and going somewhere that no one even thought they were being recruited by. So I think it's most definitely harder to keep your players committed these days, especially with NIL and offers that may come in late. But I still believe once you get them committed, you got a better chance of getting them than not getting them.
I'll say this. I'm surprised that we're getting the amount of players committing early as we are. And what I mean by that is I'm expecting that trend to begin to go down, where kids are going to leave their commitments open and their recruitments open as long as possible, because again, somebody like this and just anybody that commits right now, they're still going to be talking to other schools. They're still going to be listening to other offers from other schools. And there's a good chance they're still going to be taking visits to other schools, which is why that I'm surprised that you still see a high number of players coming out of high school who are committing as early as they are. Now, a lot of them are wanting to commit late July, early August, and get that done and out of the way before their final high school season, which that's probably where I would be. I mean, if I were a high-level high school prospect, which, I mean, I was. No, I'm just kidding. But if I were in that position, rather than going through the entire football season of, oh, wow, that was a great game. You had 200 yards, 5 catches, 2 touchdowns. Where are you going to school? Oh, that was a great game. You guys won you're on to the state semifinals. Okay, have you made a decision yet? Rather than having to deal with all that, it's, Here's the Auburn commit. Here's the Alabama commit. Here's the Ohio State commit. Whatever the case may be, right? I would personally rather deal with that as a player, as the recruit. And so I get that part of it. But guys committing in April, May, June, I just feel like unless the calendar changes with all the signing days and everything like that, I feel like that is going to start fading out because, again, just because a guy commits to you in June doesn't mean he's going to be on your roster next year.
I don't know what the answer is there. I do think that players are – and this is something that Nick Saban did at Alabama. He got kids two classes out to commit early. It was like no one was really doing that as heavy as he was before he started doing it. He, you know, signing day would end on the first Wednesday in February. They'd have a big, huge party, you know, about how great they did in recruiting. And then, oh, by the way, we just got two other guys committed the next day. We've got 16 people committed for the next season.
Mm-hmm.
And you're continuing to see people commit or really lean heavily somewhere earlier in their high school career as opposed to the news coming out about them as a senior. That's just what I'm reading when I read all these articles. I mean, Auburn's recruiting 2026 and 27 people right now.
Auburn has two commits in 2026.
They're talking about a big defensive edge down at St. Paul's in Mobile. There was a tweet about him today. Let me see if I can find that, where Auburn's the leader for a guy in the 2026 class who's the number one edge in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that kid's got two more football seasons before we might see him on the plains.
Man, it's so crazy.
That's nuts.
But you have to be in it that early.
I mean, the Trent Seaborn kid, the quarterback from Thompson, I mean, teams have been, like, recruiting him since he's in the eighth grade.
Because he was dicing up defenses in the eighth grade.
Unfortunately, we saw him do it against Auburn I in the state championship game. He looked like Joe Montana.
Yeah, that was a game played over at Jordan-Hare Stadium,
But you're never going to, I don't think, see these commitments in March, April, and May stop as long as early signing period, which is the de facto real signing day, mm-hmm. is in December. And I think this is something that these coaches have been screaming about, Jacob. We got to do something about this calendar because it's really confusing for a kid to commit in March and then decommit in April and then commit back in July. But I'm going to take my visits in the fall. And maybe I'll be with you in December.
It's ridiculous.
And it's just killing these coaches, man. And I can't blame them for that. Now, do I think they should turn to Washington, D.C. and the federal government and seek the answers? No, but they're going to have to figure something out NCAA level, right?
Yeah, something has to change. You look at the 2025 recruiting rankings. I'm on 247. You can look wherever you want. Auburn is ranked 8th right now in the country in 2025 with 14 commits, 9 of those being four stars, 5 of those being 3 stars. They're wedged in between Oklahoma at 7 and LSU at 9. It is Ohio State 1, Notre Dame 2, Alabama at 3, Clemson 4, USC 5, Georgia 6, Oklahoma 7, Auburn at 8, LSU 9, and Texas A&M at 10. So according to this list, I had this stat for you the other day, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 of the top 10 teams in the 2025 high school recruiting rankings are in the SEC. That is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And you've got more inside the top 25.
There's two players on Alabama's commitment list right now that I don't think should be listed as commitments. I'm sorry. They should not be listed as commitments just from what they said coming out of visiting Auburn this past weekend. Doesn't mean they're not going to go there, by the way. They're in a full-blown recruiting battle for Antonio Coleman Jr., the defensive tackle, the big guy out of Saraland, Alabama. I say Auburn's 50-50 with them there from everything I've heard. And they're in an even bigger recruiting battle with Derek Smith, the athlete out of Selma, who it looked like to me from everything I read was trending Auburn after his visit here, but they still have him listed as a commitment. So take these rankings right now, and I'm not trying to pick on Alabama, and then you got the Anthony Rogers kids, the running back out of Montgomery, who camped at Auburn this past weekend. You get them on campus. Derek Nix is recruiting them. You know, take these recruiting rankings right now with a little bit of grain of salt. Now, would you rather be in the top 10 right now than not? Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're in the game with the bigger time recruits. But these rankings are going to change by December. You mark my words, and they're going to change big time.
334-321-1390 is the number to reach us. You can call in on the phone lines. You can also text us 334-784-1067. We'll take our first break here in hour number two on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, hour number two of On the Line is off and running here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And Uncle T-Bone, you had mentioned it a little bit in hour number one, but man, my Boston Celtics are taking it to Dallas, ooh, man. They're up 2-0 heading back to Dallas in the NBA Finals. Game three will be tomorrow night in Dallas. That'll be the first game of the series for the Mavericks at home. 7:30 Central Time. That'll get going. You can listen to that right here on ESPN 106.7. What you think about the Celtics up 2-0, huh? I told you to watch out for them Celtics now.
Oh, gosh. I mean, here's a rhetorical question for you of – all-time status. All right, are you ready for it?
Yeah.
How good are the boys in Vegas? Dallas catching.
They're pretty good at their
job last night.
Yeah, or two nights ago. That was Sunday night.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sunday night. Excuse me. And I mean, golly, they just got a way of just really kind of getting you right there and just pulling the rug out from under you and covering by a half. I saw that line. I was like, Dallas, and I thank goodness I wasn't on the radio giving bad advice. I was like, Dallas is going to cover that. They're going to come back, and Kyrie Irving's going to show them something. And, I mean, he had a decent game, but not a championship-worthy game by any means. I mean, and like I said, it's all Luka right now versus the entire Boston Celtics organization. I mean, he's getting very little help. He goes for 32. Heck, he had 21 in the first half. You know, 11 rebounds, 11 assists. Plays 42 minutes. The Celtics are just rotating. They know they're going to get his. And so instead of wearing out their guys, they're just rotating guys on them so they can stay fresh on offense. And he's got no help.
Mm-hmm.
He's got no help. Like I said, I think he could be the best player in the NBA. Celtics' best team in the NBA.
And it seems to not be close right now. It just seems going into the series, I said the Celtics were the better team. Do the Mavericks have a better player in Luka? Sure. I mean, he's a top five player.
Too.
And look, I love Jason Tatum.
He's a player now.
I love Jaylen Brown. Those are my guys. But Luka is unbelievable. I mean, he dropped a triple-double and made it look easy the other night. He was hitting everything. But nobody else is doing what they need to do. They're missing that third guy to step up and be the man. And when Kyrie wants to be, he can. But here's the problem. The Celtics have had everybody except Jason Tatum step up and play well. I mean, Jaylen Brown's doing his thing, but you've got Derek White hitting shots. Jrue Holiday is probably the finals MVP through the first two games. You have Kristaps Porzingis, who is day-to-day and questionable to play in Game 3 after coming back for the finals, having his best game of his entire career in Game 1 of the finals, re-injured that leg the other night, and so he is questionable to play tomorrow night in Game 3, but who had Kristaps Porzingis having the best game in Game 1 and Jrue Holiday going for 26 points and 11 rebounds in Game 2 and the Celtics winning both of those games?
Yeah, Holiday played amazing. You got to wonder how much Kristaps got left in the gas tank if he did get hurt the other night pretty bad. I mean, that was – it's almost like the Celtics saved him for that very first game just to come out and help with some shock and awe, see if they couldn't just steal the momentum with him and unleash him. And boy, did he have a whale of a game. Now, they're going back to Dallas, and the Mavericks, this is must-win time.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I mean, that's a no-brainer. And if they do pull one off and can kind of get Kyrie settled down, I think they can get back in this series. But if it's going to just be all Luka at home against them, Celtics are going to take Game 3, and it's over.
The problem for Dallas is the Celtics are not only the best offensive team in the NBA, they're the best defensive team, too. And the Celtics have scored over 100 points in both games, and they've limited Dallas to less than 100 points in both games. I mean, that's a winning formula. And you look at Game 3 tomorrow night, that is, again, in Dallas. You can find that right here on ESPN Radio. Dallas favored by 2.5 tomorrow night. 2.5 points at home favored. I mean, smart money would say that Dallas could probably get game three because it is almost desperation mode to where if you go down 3-0, I mean, no team's ever come back from that.
I'm not touching that.
I don't think I am either.
That line smells.
It really does. It's 2.5 for Dallas. 212 is the over-under. 212.5 there at American Airlines Center. So that's what's going on in the NBA Finals. Again, we're carrying the entire series right here on ESPN 106.7. Now, whether that's a four-game series or beyond, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Some folks in this studio may not mind it being less or being only four games, but that's just me. In other news, before we get to our bottom of the hour break, we have some Auburn football scheduling news I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the world flipping out about what's not happening now on the 4th of July? One of the biggest sporting events of the year that happens on the 4th of July, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, that is an awesome event on the 4th of July. It's still happening, okay?
It's
the
disgusting.
Event's still happening. It is. It's so gross.
It's nasty. I'm sorry.
It's still happening. But the legend himself, the greatest of all time at choking down hot dogs, will not be there this year. He won't be there. Joey Chestnut has been banned from Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest because a spokesperson, listen to this, a spokesperson for Major League Eating, MLE, did you know that was a thing? I didn't. I didn't know Major League Eating existed.
I don't think I want to know that
existed. I know there's competitions. I didn't know they had a whole league for it.
Is there a Hall of Fame?
Oh, I'm sure there is, and he's the head of it. He's the king. Told ESPN that Chestnut had chosen to, quote, represent another hot dog brand and therefore would not be allowed to participate in the Nathan's contest, which is held annually at New York City's Coney Island.
So old Joey wanted to go out there and get a little NIL money, and the Major League Eating organization said, not today, Joey Chestnut.
He agreed.
Is this what I'm hearing?
He agreed to a deal with Impossible Foods.
He's the little Asian fella that can eat like 50,000.
No.
Okay.
No, Joey Chestnut.
That's his rival.
Yeah. No, here, I'll show you a picture right now. That's Joey Chestnut. You know who he is. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He's that guy.
He's kind of beefed up a little bit.
I mean, that's what happens when you eat 70 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
It's just
every year.
I mean, the gluttony side of it is just so over the top. I can't dig it. You don't like it?
You don't watch it?
No.
Oh,
I love that.
Oh, they eat the hot dogs and they soak the buns in the water and they're just going at it. It's fantastic.
This guy holds
like 30 world records.
Sounds like the bad part of that movie, Stand By Me. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah, I've seen that movie multiple times. Well, there you go. Joey Chestnut will not be a part of Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on the 4th of July. He went and made a deal with Impossible Foods. So
you just don't get outside the – you can't fight City Hall, folks.
Nope, can't
Here's
do
the
it.
Lesson.
Yeah, Big Brother will get you every time. 334-321-1390. Auburn football scheduling news when we come back. 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We've talked about it a little bit, but we need to shout it out. And again, there's no excuse now, Andy, for not to come out and see us on Friday when we were at Moe's Bent Creek, brought to you by Sensa Green. Let them know what's going on this Friday, Uncle T-Bone.
Come join us this Friday at Moe's Original Barbecue on Bent Creek Road. That's out by the interstate, folks, not in downtown, as ESPN 106.7 will be live on location, brought to you by Sensa Green. Heating and Air. On the Line and the Drive will be live outside on the patio at Moe's from 2 to 6. Moe's will have $3 bushwhackers from 4 to 9.
Hey-o.
And live music from Jake Harrelson starting at 8:30. Can you feel it? We will be covering the U.S. Open Golf Tournament along with the biggest news in Auburn Athletics. Maybe we'll have another commitment by then, Jacob.
Hey, maybe so. Well, yeah, so come on out. Check us out. Again, we are having a lot of fun. Our remotes are a blast. We always have such a good time.
Yep.
When we get out of the studio, and this will be, again, we'll be talking about the U.S. Open. That gets going.
Yep, Father's Day weekend,
yeah.
U.S. Open. Come out and be a part of the fun with ESPN 106.7 at the Bent Creek location. That's Bent Creek Drive, Bent Creek Road, whatever you want to call it. It's out by the interstate. Moe's Original Barbecue in Auburn this Friday from 2 to 6, brought to you by SensaGreen Heating and Air, folks, for air that's cool and clean. Call SensaGreen.
That's right. So Friday, 2 to 6, we'll be out there, probably hang out a little bit after that as well. Come out. We'd love to see you, love to meet you if we have not yet, and so you'll be able to hear us. We'll have the speaker going. We'll have guests out there. They're going to have live music out there when we're all done as well, so should be a lot of fun there at Moe's Bent Creek this Friday, ESPN 106.7 live on location. Well, something that was announced today, Uncle T-Bone, thanks to ESPN and ABC now having the SEC television rights, we now have a better idea of what Auburn's football schedule looks like in terms of kickoff times and what that's sort of going to look like. Now, we don't have exact times just yet, but we know around about when in the day that Auburn will be playing some of their football games. Now, the first three games of the year, we know those, right? The first three games have already been announced for kickoff times.
6:30 to kick it all off against Alabama A&M, 2:30 on ESPN2 against the University of California, and then 6:30 against New Mexico on ESPN2.
Here's what's exciting, though. From September 21st against – yes – from September 21st against Arkansas all the way through the Iron Bowl on November 30th, we know whether it's going to be an early kickoff, which is the in all of Central Time, the 11 to 12 o'clock slot. Mm-hmm. You know whether it's going to be in the afternoon, which is the 2:30 to 3:30 time slot, the night window, which is the 5 to 7 p.m. slot, or what is called the flex window, which is anywhere from the afternoon to the night. So 2:30 to 7. All right. So starting with SEC play with Arkansas.
There's not a reverse flex that could be morning or afternoon.
Thankfully, no.
Okay.
Thankfully, no. If it says flex, that is not a morning game. That is not an early kickoff. And thank God for that. Okay. Starting with SEC play with Arkansas on September 21st, that's considered a flex time. So that will either be the afternoon, 2:30 or 3:30, or the night games from 5 to 7. So anywhere between 2:30 and 7, the Arkansas game will be afternoon evening on September 21st.
Have not looked at the other SEC team schedule close enough. Educated guess here, that's a night game because the next week against Oklahoma, Jacob
is a afternoon game on September 28th, something that we had talked about. We were wanting this to be a night game. Every Auburn fan wanted this to be a true under-the-lights night game for Oklahoma's first real battle test in the SEC, their first trip to Jordan-Hare Stadium. That is confirmed. That will be an afternoon game. So it will kick off between 2:30 and 3:30. So, I mean, 2:30, 3 or 3:30, whichever one it's going to be. That is disappointing, but at least it's not the 11 a.m. game, which you didn't feel like it was going to be an early game, but it's not a night game, and I feel like Auburn fans are kind of upset about that.
I mean, it's not the end of the world. You know, had it been 11 o'clock, I think there would have been pitchforks and torches out.
And charging Birmingham.
Yeah, but afternoon there, you know, late in September, that's a good time to watch a football game.
Yeah, well, my buddy Ty Richardson at ESPN Arkansas texted me about the Razorbacks game, and he said, it's not a morning game. It's not 11 a.m.
Thank goodness.
Start celebrating.
I mean, we're celebrating, too. How many times have I watched Arkansas come over here in the morning and take it to Auburn?
I mean, 11 a.m. kicks on the
Sickening.
SEC Network, terrible. Terrible.
Fred Talley just ran past the window.
Yep. So the Arkansas game is flex, so it'll be afternoon or evening. Oklahoma is an afternoon game. The Georgia game on October 5th is either – it's a flex, so that's afternoon or evening.
I think that'll depend on what Georgia does against Alabama the week before they play Auburn.
I think so, too, and I think it depends on what Auburn does before they play Georgia. If Auburn's 4-0 and Georgia's 4-0 –
well, Auburn would be
5-0. Sorry, excuse me, 5-0. If Auburn's 5-0 rolling into Athens, night game.
It's prime time.
Which I don't think that benefits Auburn, but I mean, why not? Let's go for it. If you're going to play, let's play, and let's play in the toughest atmosphere possible. So that's a flex game as of right now. Auburn will take a bye week in between Georgia and Missouri, and I don't hate this.
Huge
I don't hate
break.
This at all. Auburn on the road at Missouri on October 19th is confirmed the early game. It will kick off in the morning. That will be between 11 and noon. It will kick off at some point in the morning. It'll be one of the first games off the board that day. Auburn on the road at Missouri. I think this is massive for Auburn.
Huge,
huge break for the Tigers here, and I mean the Tigers from Auburn. Going on the road, you want to be early. You want to be hyped up. You want to – hopefully that crowd is a late-night crowd that is a late-arriving crowd and got a little bit of sleepy in their eyes to put it nicely. And just go ahead and knock them out before they even get there and take care of business, get on the plane, and head home.
I've said it for years. The road team in an early kickoff game has the advantage. They have the advantage early on, I'll say. First half. I mean, once the other team gets woken up, gets ready to go. But the road team is there. They're ready. They're ready to play football. The other home team is, you know, they're sleeping in their own bed. They're kind of getting up and kind of drilling in and whatever. And look, the road team's ready to get out there, play, and get home. And that's what Auburn's going to try and do. And so, not that Como is the craziest environment in college football. I think it's gotten better, and the fans are really buying in. But not even having to worry about a night game there, fine with me. Auburn will play the early game on October 19th. At Missouri. This is interesting. This one's really, really interesting, and I am kind of excited about it, but I'm also kind of worried about it. On October 26th, when Auburn takes a trip to Lexington, to Kentucky, that is confirmed, Uncle T-Bone, that will be a night game there in Lexington, Kentucky, when Auburn takes on the Cats.
I don't hate that. I've seen plenty of Auburn teams go up to Lexington and take care of business at night inside Wildcat Stadium. That doesn't scare me.
Okay.
If you're going to have to go on the road for a confirmed night game and out of all the teams on this schedule that you're going on the road against, and they say it's Kentucky, that's the one that you're definitely going to be playing at night, I'll take it.
We'll get to some more here as we go. I believe we have somebody on the phone lines. Let's get to them. 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
Hey guys, John in Auburn. Good to talk to you. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear from you as well. What's on your mind?
Hey, just two things, super quick on this Auburn schedule. I wonder when you had the windows. Auburn and Alabama were always in separate windows.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's something with the new configuration of the SEC. If that's something they'll keep, or if that's something that'll you know, Katie bar the door.
I would think if they're smart, they will try to keep that the same. I saw a graphic with Alabama's earlier, and I looked at it for a second, but I'm about to try and pull it up and see if it is kind of the opposite. But I would think the SEC and ESPN would do everything they could to keep Auburn and Alabama off the TV at the same time.
Hey, and just real quick on that Missouri game, if it's an early game, you know how these gambling lines and commentators go. It's going to be a short travel week for Missouri, because Missouri, the week before Auburn, for some reason is at UMass.
That's right. They are at UMass. And such a weird game. I forgot about that, John. That's a really good point.
So you got a sleepy, sleepy Missouri team. Hey, glad everything's back broadcasting. All y'all have a good afternoon.
Thanks so much, John. Appreciate you listening and sticking with us through the craziness, and glad that you're here and calling in. 334-321-1390.
I think that you're going to see Auburn and Alabama playing in more windows now. I just don't think that there's going to be weekends where the SEC and ESPN and ABC are going to just have to do what they have to do. There's so many teams now, it's just going to be harder to control the schedule, and I think it's going to take a hot minute for these TV folks to really dial in over the next couple of years, getting people comfortable with primetime games being at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel like that as times change, there's going to be weekends where – you know, Auburn's playing at 2:30 and Alabama's playing at 3:30.
Yeah. Well, let's get through the rest of this Auburn schedule and then we can compare. I got Alabama's pulled up. So, night game at Kentucky on October 26th. You come home. I mean, this is no
standard operating procedure.
That's exactly right. November 2nd, Vanderbilt comes to town. It's early. It'll be 11 a.m. It'll be streaming somewhere on some illegal website. I mean, it's not gonna be highly rated. I can promise you that.
Any kind of decent program, you're used to playing Vandy early.
Mm-hmm.
You've done it. You've been there. You've done that. You got this.
Yeah. It's There's no shock there that Auburn will play the early game against Vanderbilt November 2nd. Then they're home versus ULM. That'll be an 11:45 game on the SEC Network. Texas A&M, when they come to town on November 23rd, that is a flex game. So that'll be after or either afternoon or evening, which is good. That's big news because that's in late November because it'll get, even if you play in the afternoon, it'll be dark by the second half. So that's a big-time game for Auburn.
I bet that's a night game.
You think so?
Yeah, I feel like with Auburn going early against Vanderbilt and then having the 11:45 against Louisiana Monroe, that they'll push them back.
And then the Iron Bowl is a flex game, that game in Tuscaloosa this year on November 30th. That'll be either afternoon or evening, which means you could get a night game for the Iron Bowl, something we have not seen in quite some time. It didn't happen very often because CBS almost always picked up the Iron Bowl, which would be at 2:30.
The last night game I remember in the Iron Bowl, and I could be wrong, was 2014. Tigers travel up to Tuscaloosa, throw everything but the kitchen sink at Alabama. We're just a few inches away a couple of times of taking momentum away from that game. And then for some reason, we just started going man-on-man against Amari Cooper and got blown out.
Yeah, that didn't make a whole lot of sense. Are you a fan, being a long school or long-time Auburn fan, are you a fan of it being, and I know the times have changed throughout the years, but in the last recent history, my lifetime, okay? My lifetime, 2:30 CBS has typically been when the Iron Bowl was played. Are you okay with it changing and moving around? I mean, you're not going to see this very often be an early 11 a.m. noon game. Guess it could be if ESPN's trying to get some big-time games in that time slot. But I'm cool with there being some night games for the Iron Bowl. Pure night games. Kickoff at 7 o'clock, and let's play into the night sky.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I can't remember many early Iron Bowls in my lifetime. I do think in 1992 they kicked off early. That was on Thanksgiving Day, Pat Dye's last game at Auburn. I believe that was an 11 o'clock or 11:30 kickoff on ABC. I would like to see more night Iron Bowls.
Sure,
there's just a level of even more excitement and electricity in the air at night in any football game. But when you make it the Iron Bowl, man, there have been some wild ones. 95, 97, 99, all of those in Jordan-Hare were night games. That 2014 game was a shootout. It was crazy. Golly, I know there's been a couple of more that I can remember. So, yeah, I want to see some night games.
Which, to go on the opposite side for a second, though, that was the one thing that was special. Not the
2003,
one thing,
go crazy Cadillac.
Yeah, and that was one of the many things that was special about the Iron Bowl is – on that Saturday, right, we'd always watch Ohio State, Michigan. That was typically that first game to kick off the day.
Yep.
But then 2:30 Central, 3:30 Eastern, everybody in the country was sitting down and watching the Iron Bowl. From the state of Alabama to the state of Washington up to New York. Everybody was watching the Iron Bowl because it was 2:30 on CBS, and everybody knew that's the game that happened on that Saturday. The Saturday after Thanksgiving in the middle of the afternoon, that's who was playing. And so I will miss that because that won't be just a consistent thing anymore, but I am excited to have night games for that game coming up in the future, and this year could be one of them.
If I could make one change to the Iron Bowl, and I know there's probably some archaic SEC rule or NCAA rule that doesn't allow this. But if I can make one change to the Iron Bowl, well, actually two. My first change would be that both teams wear their home uniforms. And then the second one is I would like to see a rotation. Auburn, Alabama, Auburn, Tuscaloosa, and then back in Birmingham. I mean, the Auburn fans for years griped about Birmingham, and I don't even know if Legion Field, that old gray lady, is still standing.
It is as of right now,
but,
I think.
I mean, the 50-50 crowd, which was never 50-50, still was really amazing.
I mean, you got what? It's Allegiant Stadium now that they just built up there?
Yeah, that stadium's not quite big enough to host that. I think it's only about 45,000-50,000 people. But, man, those were some amazing games and crowds in Birmingham. And, you know, I'd like to see that again. But I would like to see if they're not going to do any kind of rotation, which they're not. It's way too much money being lost for each community when they have to give up like one and a half of those games out of six.
I know the money that the cities make just on the Super 7.
It's insane money. But it would be neat if they just both wore their home uniforms.
I'd get behind that.
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool.
Well, we'll take our final break here. I do want to compare Auburn and Alabama's potential schedules with this early afternoon and the flex that we know that ESPN, the SEC, and everybody has been releasing. It just gives us a better idea of what Auburn could look like, what the game times could look like for football season coming up this year. And reminder, we are 81 days away from Auburn football kicking off the 2024 season. We'll wrap up the Tuesday edition of On the Line when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Man, it's been a great show today. Awesome. We've had a lot of fun. We had a very special guest in hour number one, Justin Quinn from CincyGreen was with us, the CEO and owner. He was in here talking about CincyGreen Heating and Air, also talking some sports. So we had a lot of fun with him. And then here in hour number two, we've had many conversations, Auburn football recruiting. We talked a little bit of NBA finals. We've also been talking about the schedule releases and the somewhat game times that we have some, I don't even know how you call that, the
approximate.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. And so we've had all that and a whole lot more on the show today. So if you missed any of it, you can find the podcast at ESPNAU.com. Here's Alabama's really quick. Their first three games, we've known this, 6 p.m. against Western Kentucky, 6 p.m. against USF, and then 11 a.m. at Wisconsin week three. That'll be on Fox, that big new kickoff up there. We've known the Georgia game will be on September 28th. That's a night game on ABC. Then you play at Vanderbilt in the afternoon for Alabama. They will then host South Carolina at 11 a.m. Then
how's that pulling right now on ABC or ESPN? I mean, that's the primetime channels.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina,
I don't know what that week looks like of October 12th for college football.
Go ahead. I'm going to try and pull that
up. Yeah, pull that up. So that's October 12th. At Tennessee on October 19th, that's a flex. And again, the flex means afternoon or evening. That does not mean, or what that means is you will not play a morning game. That is not a morning kickoff. That will either be the afternoon or the evening, anywhere from 2:30 to 7 p.m. So at Tennessee is a flex. Home versus Missouri is a flex. This is for Alabama. At LSU on November 9th is a flex. The Mercer game, 1 o'clock on November 16th. At Oklahoma on November 23rd is a flex for Alabama. And then the Iron Bowl, as we mentioned, is a flex as well. So a lot of opportunities there for Alabama to play evening, afternoon games. I see only one early game in the SEC, which is what Auburn had, their game being against Vanderbilt, Alabama's being against South Carolina. The only other early game I see is the game at Wisconsin on September 14th.
They're going to, after this October 12th game where they host South Carolina very early. I mean, I guess that's like hosting Vanderbilt now, but on ABC or ESPN, come on. They're going to send Alabama when they go to Tennessee to a night game.
You think so?
Oh, no question about it. They're going to be on that Tennessee River at night. Those big Vols, V-O-L-S, lights in the end zone lit up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you already know the LSU game's going to be a night game. Night game in Death Valley, if they have the chance to do that on November 9th, they're going to send Alabama down there to the Tigers down there in Baton Rouge in a night game on November 9th. You already know.
Yeah.
They'll give them an afternoon game against Oklahoma. It'll be an afternoon game for the Iron Bowl.
So on October 12th, you got Mississippi State at Tennessee on the SEC Network. That's actually not right. That's from 2019. So I'm going to have to do a little bit more digging. Excuse me.
Oh.
But there is the Ole Miss LSU game that week.
Okay.
Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Georgia, Vandy, Kentucky, Missouri at UMass. I mean, I can see why it's an early game. I just don't know why it'd be on ABC.
Auburn's on a bye week that week. Just keep that in mind. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow, but a whole lot more on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We appreciate you all being with us. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate Justin Quinn joining us in hour number one as well. Until tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.